Hi, I'm Garrett with IDC Woodcraft, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast where we are going on a journey to learn how to build a CNC business the right way, where you can create a very successful business. This is episode 2 of a series of podcasts where I am mentoring a gentleman named Mark, who not so long ago came to the conclusion that he just was not happy in life and needed a change in direction. He was a pretty much of a cookie cutter, let's take care of business, and kind of the employee mindset. And Mark got tired and wanted something else, and he landed on the CNC machines. Now, he landed on a CNC router in particular. He bought the machine and then didn't know what to do. How was he going to approach this in a business aspect? Basically, he didn't know. So he asked me to mentor him. And part of that criteria in me doing that was to make this public. And so that's why this podcast is here. Now, this same episode is live with Mark on YouTube. So if you want to go watch that there, you can do that as well. The link will be down in the description. This is the second of a series. And if you have not listen to the first, you must go back to the first and watch that one or listen to that one. Otherwise, you won't understand what's going on in this one. In this one, Mark is understanding his why he really, really wants to get into business. This will be vital to you. If you don't understand this element, then you are likely not going to do as well as you want with your CNC business. So with all that being said, I just have to do a quick blurb and then we will get into this. So the quick blurb is I have to promote the podcast service that I use. And then we're going to go right into the mentoring session with Mark. So here's the blurb and then we get into it. Let's go.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Hey, Garrett. It's going well. Excited Good. To be back on our call.
Yeah. Yep. So this is our second mentoring session. And a reminder, right? We're doing this on YouTube. By the way, I posted that one, and I don't know if you saw or not.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Good. And you know what? The feedback was actually good. So I think you're going to be a good guinea pig. I almost hate to use that term, but you kind of used it in a way. It's not really a guinea pig, but an example of.
Well, I've noticed just in this last week. I mean, just the exercise is holding me accountable. It's just like, oh crap, there's people watching this and paying attention. So, you know, if nothing else, you know, when there's been a couple of days this week where I'm kind of like, oh my God, can I do this? And is this the right direction and all that stuff? And, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, I'll just slack off, you know, whatever. But anyway, yeah, so I watched that and, you know, it's you gotta have some thick skin too. When you read the comments through, I tend to not read other people's comments on other videos, but yeah. So anyway,
okay. Yeah, of course. Well, you're the star of the show, right?
That's your job. That's your job. I thought I was just the side man, the side show.
right. Well, you know what? Many of the comments people were definitely expressing interest in this because of your journey that they related to you. Right, mm-hmm. they understood where you're at. Even some people's going, you know, I'm exactly where Mark's at. Yeah. So you're not alone, right?
Yeah,
so,
that's a good thing.
Yeah,
because I feel like I am sometimes.
Yeah, well, that's the nature of business. This is something that maybe we can start off a little bit with, mm-hmm. is the idea of transitioning out of this employee type of, you know, living and depending on a paycheck and wanting to do your own thing. It's kind of a difficult transition to make, but it starts up here. It's something of a mental transition and making that determination to do it. And you've reflected that. And, you know, a lot of people, they think, at least from my own perspective that I have done, is we get scared and sometimes we back off. I mean, how many ideas through our lives have we had that? Yeah. Okay. So anyway, there's a few things that we assigned to you last week. Mm-hmm. Right. So we had you were going to establish a baseline money goal that you want to reach in a time frame.
Yep.
And, you know, not the 100K that you want to reach, but just a realistic objective that's going to push you. Your why, getting down to the deep reasons why you're making this transition. And the reason for that is because that's your driver. That's the thing that's going to push you through the hard times. And then niche, right? And then, of course, watch a couple of videos. So let's first get on the why element. Yeah. So first, I just want to just, because this is a recorded video and other people are going to see it, I want to make sure I paint this picture of what a why is and what it does.
Good. I was struggling a little bit to kind of go through that. I'm like, I got some notes here, but it's not crystal clear. So I was, one of my questions I was going to ask you is if you could help to kind of define a little bit when we say the why, what do you mean by that? So yeah, that'd be helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So the why is the emotional driver, that the absolute bottom line foundation that is going to push you. So a lot of, it's pretty common from what I've seen. The number one why that people will say, I want to make money, right? I want to supplement my income, or I want my own business to make money. I want to get rich. And that's not strong enough. That's just a concept without some solid foundation. There are reasons beneath it. So what you talked about last week was you want a change in life. You want to be a role model for your child and your partner, right? So beneath that is another why. And this is where we want to get down to. So when you're struggling on this, it's really asking yourself, okay, well, I'll ask you, let's just put it this way. Mark, that is a really good reason to have as a driving force. You want your daughter to have a good role model. You want to make sure that your partner's happy and everything's copacetic there. Mm-hmm. And you want to make the transition because you're not happy. Mm-hmm. So why is that? Why do you want to be a role model to your daughter?
Okay.
Why do you?
Yeah. With Sophie. With Sophie, the thing is, I want to be able to demonstrate for her is that, you know, life's going to change. You're going to have ups and downs. You know, she struggles a bit with change. She struggles a little bit with when things are getting challenged. And her mom is going through a career change, ironically enough, at the same time. And it's how do you take responsibility and that's not the right word. I'm going to back up a little bit. So I was 17, 18 years old. And I loved hanging out with my neighbor, Lou. Lou is an electrician. I was helping him. I'd go around on job sites with him. When I was 19, I went out west to go work with my dad at a construction site. I love that. And I think back, what are some of the happiest times I had? Those are some of the memories that I have. Building stuff, making stuff. I love being able to, at the end of the day, flip a switch or do something and say, look, that I did that. And I was directed into the university track. You know, don't be a tradesman, go and, you know, go get a university degree. You know, so I followed that path and I had a desk job. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I made a good living doing that. But I find right now, or at least for the last 5-6 years, you know, I said last time, like I don't have any tangible proof or thing of what I've done for the day. And, you know, trying to explain to my daughter, what do you do? And it's like, I write emails, I send Facebook ads, you know, like it's quite complicated. I can't explain to my mom what I do. And it's not that I want to be able to explain to them what I do. It's, I don't feel good about what I do anymore. I don't feel good that, you know, I'm helping some guy's stuff sell that I don't even believe in. But so that's part of it. The other part is when I handed over this toddler stand that I made for my neighbor, and she just was like, "Oh my God, this is beautiful!" Instead of buying plastic little turn knobs, I made them out of walnut, and so they're custom because she likes the color walnut. And so she was feeling them and touching them, and she's like, "Oh my God, these are amazing!" And she handed one to her son, and her son was playing with it. I don't know. There's just something about that that's kind of calling to me, and doing that. But I wrote down public why and private why when we were talking about the emotional drivers, and I'm saying all the other stuff because it's kind of the stuff to say, but I'll be honest with you. I kind of like the praise. I'm getting a high off of, "Oh my God, this is beautiful, Mark." You know, I made, as crazy as it sounds, I made a cutting board, and it was an end grain cutting board. It was a test. It blew up in the planer, you know, and sent stuff all over the shop, but I cleaned it up. It's only a 10 by 10 little thing. And everybody that sees it when they're walking by is like, "Well, what are you working on?" I show it to them, and they're all like, "Oh my God, this is gorgeous. I didn't realize you're so talented," and all those kind of things. I'm kind of liking the praise. And that seems a bit selfish, but I'm kind of enjoying that. I'm loving the creative aspect of doing it and taking some raw wood that I found at, you know, some guy's sawmill, because I was driving back visiting my mom, and you know, I'm loving the hunt of finding, you know, a big huge chunk of walnut that I paid $10 for. I got to plane it down and I got to make it into something and finish it, and at the end of it there's just this beautiful piece of wood that came out of it, and the shimmer and the, I don't even know what the term is, and people say it. So there's some of that. I mean, that's a big high. I'm getting a big rush from that perspective, and I haven't had that in years. So that's part of it. I don't know if that's what you're asking for or asking about.
Yeah, actually, you are going right into the heart of what a why is all about. Okay. So one of the things you mentioned along the way was, I don't know if it's selfish or not, but I really like the praise. And ultimately, when it comes to our success, it's I think a lot of the fact that you mentioned, I don't know if this is selfish or not, right, makes you worry, like maybe there's a little seed in you of, well, maybe this isn't the right way, or this isn't honorable to think that I like praise, right? And maybe people think of it in a wrong way. And ultimately, this is what the true why is. The true why is always about us. Mm-hmm. And what we end up getting out of it. So you mentioned two elements. You mentioned the seeing the people go, ooh, you know, the goo-goo and gaga over, mm-hmm. over this thing, and it feels really good to you. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge emotional reward for you relative to what you've been doing, which is write an email, they call you up and say, you know, okay, I need 5 more emails, you know, get them ready, and I want them this. Yeah. And there's no emotional behind it. But the other element is you are being very expressive in these cutting boards. You just said, I picked up this piece of wood that I found, and I turned it into, you know, some kind of whatever,
right.
That, and you know that came from within you, right? Mm-hmm. So ultimately the why is about you. And so there are lots of different whys. You pretty much nailed it. You like the praise. Mm-hmm. Okay. The other definition of that.
Yeah, you said that and it's like almost permission. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have permission. You absolutely have permission to have that. In fact, because you've nailed it, that's going to be your driver, right? Because the flip side of that is being the mediocre electronic type of emails guys that nobody mm-hmm. will ever remember. You have nothing to say for yourself. This praise, this whole thing comes down to legacy. Okay. Yeah. Right. you have created something. It may be minor, maybe small, maybe a little piece, but it means something to somebody, right? And you know that you've left a legacy in somebody's heart, and that's what you're after, right? And and by virtue of that, tie that back to your daughter.
I see what you're saying, because I can now say that there's something there. There's something tangible that, you know, this piece of wood is bringing somebody joy. You know, it's bringing them happiness. It's, you know, somebody asked me, you know, kind of why cutting board. I'm like, well, I've got an Italian background on my mom's side. I've got an English background on my dad's side. So we won't talk about the English food because, well, it's English pub food. But on the Italian side, I mean, you know, I remember as a kid going over to my aunt and uncle's house or going over to my grandma's house. It's like, it's always eat. And I know in Chinese families and Indian families and lots of different cultures, food is a demonstration of a central point around a family. And it's always, there's laughter and there's love and there's joy and there's community and everything like that. And I kind of dig the fact that joy and everything kind of got started from the food that was chopped up and prepared on a cutting board, or chopped up and prepared and displayed and on a cutting board. Like I'm thinking of the stories that we've had around my daughter's godmother's chikuri board, right? And all the laughter and all the fun and all of the stories that have been told, and you know, and the family folklore that kind of goes around it. I'm kind of thinking there's just, that's kind of cool. And then I know that a friend of mine, his father passed away a year ago, and they're still cleaning stuff out, and he now has his father's cutting board. And there's some connection to his father on that. So I don't know, there's something about that that's calling to me. And they're not basic cutting boards, they're beautiful pieces of art, but also it's something that's transferable. And I can take some really good pride in that I made that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. There's another piece too on this. The why is I am tired of having to go to Katie and say, yeah, my contract just wrapped up again. And I got to go find more work. And because the type of work that I do, it's not income-based, it's contract work. I haven't had a J-O-B 9-to-5 job in 20 years. It's been freelance work most of that time. And so, you know, again, it's like I ache at the fact that I've got to say, hey, by the way, it's going to get lean again for a bit because I've got, you know, I got to go find another contract. And with COVID, they're few and far between.
What does that make you feel like when you have to go find another contract?
A failure.
Why does it make you feel like you're a failure?
Well, I mean, I, for that period of time when I'm looking for the next contract, I can't pay for the bills. I'm not contributing to the fund. I'm creating stress in the house. During that time, it's all hands on to go find jobs. So if Sophie's over, I'm spending time doing that, not being with her. I end up getting quite grumpy. And it's something that, Katie and Sophie definitely don't need to be subjected to. I mean, it's, I've chosen a path prior to today of going down a route that puts me in those ebb and flows of work. And it creates challenge around the family, and it's not fair to them.
You know? Okay. Very, very good. Very good. You may wonder, what the hell does this have to do with CNC business? What this has to do with CNC business, as I said in the beginning, is what's going to make you, what is going to make you go and never quit, Okay. Mm-hmm. You used some really important words, and you made a really important transition that you didn't even realize you made in this whole dialogue. Okay. Was you started off talking about praise. You enjoy the praise, and you want to be a role model. You know, you want to be a role model, and you ended up diverting into I, right, instead of them. And then you said, I don't want to be a failure, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, you want to win. You want to be in control, okay? Mm-hmm. And that is, you want to be in control of your destiny. Mm-hmm. And that is the ultimate why, right? So excellent. Take that to heart. Okay. In fact, I would make sure that you write why, you know, at some point, this will be task number one. We've talked about this. Now you know that the why has everything to do with you and nothing with anybody else. It has to do with your sense of control, okay? Yeah. So just write that down on a small card like that and put that next to your computer where you're at a lot of times. And that way, when you feel like getting really frustrated, like you just want to quit, like you just screw it, I'm just going to go back to writing emails. You look at that and that'll jog you right back into this whole, the whole reason you started this in the first place.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Excellent. I hats off to you, brother, because you got down to a hard level that's difficult for us to get to.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I'm not feeling too good right now. I'm feeling kind of shitty right now because I'm thinking about all the times that all the failures and all the struggles I've had, and I'm kind of looking at this kind of going.
Good. That's good. I did a series of whys with you, right? And those series of whys was intended. Eventually, we run out of reasons that are external. And we can't, we just divert to the inside. It finally becomes done. Damn it, it's because I want this. All right. So it's good that you're feeling that, right? Mm-hmm. You're in touch with the emotion. So that's a big one. Okay. So let's take a breather for a second and kind of just pull back into the where you're going. There's another thing I'm going to... We want to get you moving. You've got a month and a half, roughly, to get something going here.
Yep.
Right. And so with this foundation, now we want to get you into a place of knowing where you want to get to. Right. So one of the goals that we had, are you ready to make an inner shift for a second? You want to take a breath?
Sure. Let's go for it. I'm all in right now, brother.
All right. You set up a money goal. Mm-hmm. Can you share that first level money goal you'd like to achieve?
Yeah, I'd like in the next 6 weeks, I'd like to generate $4,000.
$4,000, okay. Yeah. All right, so how far past the comfort level did you push that number?
Say more.
What's that?
What do you mean by that? How far did I push
that? Okay, well, so four, you put a number out there, $4,000. When I said, pick a number and make it a little uncomfortable.
Yep.
Right. So the, when you pick a number, the first number comes to your head is okay, $3,000, right? Whatever it might've been.
Yeah. Okay. So, I misunderstood then. $4,000 is kind of that, that number that I kind of did some basic math and said, okay, I think this is the number I can get to.
Okay. All right. So think is a word that we are going to eliminate from your vocabulary. I think this is a number I can get to.
Okay.
The $4,000 is a good number. Let's make it $5,000.
Okay.
That was too easy for you. Let's make it $550,000.
So $550,000, and that's that number there is
$5,500.
$5,050. That's total sales that we're talking about, right?
That's what?
Total sales we're talking about right
now. That's revenue. That's what's coming in the door.
Okay.
All right. I want to talk about that for a minute because last time we talked, you remember I said it doesn't matter what your cost, the ratios are, your expenses versus your income. And the reason I said that, I don't think I made that very clear. The results is what matters. And the results is what customers pay you and how many customers pay you, right? We can sit there and play with numbers all day long, but if you mm-hmm. don't have a volume, X number of dollars coming at you in return for exchanging, you know, your cutting board, then it doesn't matter what your expenses versus your, we just want to see results.
Okay.
Remember, I said at the end of the day, your customer doesn't care. Your customer wants a cutting board for, or whatever project you end up making, right? For, in exchange for a number of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're looking for. Because the idea is we can come up with all these. What we're doing is we are cutting through the chase. And I'm trying to find a good way to explain this. We can bounce all these numbers around in our head and try to justify all this stuff. But at the end of the day, if they're not paying us, we don't have results.
Got it.
Make sense?
Yep.
So once you got a couple of customers, let me start playing with ROIs.
Okay.
Start playing with how much does this cost me? How much does that cost me? Naturally wrap in the idea. If you've got, considering today's prices of lumber, you've got $50 of lumber tied up in a cutting board, then yes, you need to get at least that $50 out of it.
Yeah, of course.
At least. Okay. Yeah. So all right.
Yeah. So with that said, because the lumber that I'm buying, I'm not going to the mills. I'm going to local Sawyer guys that, you know, sell to the mills. So I'm going direct. Mm-hmm. And so I'm buying rough lumber at like 50 cents on the dollar to the lumber mills.
Really? So, excellent.
Yeah. I mean, it's rough and ugly and dirty, but I got to spend some time milling it. But right now I got time and no money. So I'm taking the time and actually learning the skill of how to do that. So last cutting board I did, I had about $12 worth of lumber tied up into it. And I had about 3 hours worth of labor. And I sold it for $175, I think it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So you're a little bit ahead of the game here. That's good. So things are happening for you, right?
Slowly, yeah.
That $175 is income. Anytime from mm-hmm. this point on that you sell something, that you actually get money put in your account or given to your hand in exchange for something that you've made.
Yes.
Now you write that down.
Okay.
We're going to tally. So what we want to do is actually put a piece of paper on your wall or something like that and tally it. So you can actually see that money grow. I do that.
Okay.
If you can't really tell, but every day I track how much income mm-hmm. comes in. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then I have a little chart. And on the top of that, I've got my monthly goal that I want to hit. So we want $5,500 in 2 months. The reason I got you pushing is because if you set yourself comfortable at $4,000, the first number popping in your head, mm-hmm. You're not pushing yourself hard enough. You're saying, okay, this is my comfort number.
Yep.
All right. So now I'm going to hold you. I'm going to be challenging you on that $5,500.
Yeah.
Even though I'm the one to pick that number out, but it just has to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Now, there's something when we're talking about money, there's something I want to address with you. It's more of a general statement because we're recording this and it's a public session. Somebody had said something. They didn't see how you can make $100K with cutting boards. Right? Mm-hmm. How mm-hmm. many cutting boards would you have to make? And it was a legitimate question. Whereas, okay, if you're just doing cutting boards, then you're going to end up making, it's going to be one, let's see, it's 10. So that's 1,000 cutting boards you'd have to make to hit $100K if you sold them all at $100 a piece. And the 1,000 isn't hard, but it can be if you're mm-hmm. not going at your market the right way. Right. So the thing I want to just paint is it's not about at this stage in the game when you're getting into business, it's not about the upfront ideas of a cutting board and $100K. It's about that this is the start level. as you progress, you will, new opportunities will come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And with that number, the more you get the 100K in your head with that number, and ask yourself every single day, how can I make 100K this year? Right? With conviction, not with doubt. That the opportunities will show up and you'll be willing to take those opportunities. And it's very hard to explain, but the more you ask yourself with the positive aspect, how can I make 100K? Instead of worrying about the negative aspect of, here I am out of work again, how am I going to pay my bills? Right? You're not worrying about the money. You're worrying about the goal.
Okay.
That's
you're a asking, shift, but yeah.
Did you understand that shift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So in the end, this is more of a general blanket statement that anybody that watches this is the message that I want to portray, but I want you also, of course, Mark, to take this in because this is for you as well. Don't focus on how you can make money. Focus on how you can give value and be willing to accept the income and trust that the money will come. It's a very difficult paradigm shift, but money is the result of actions and connections and solving problems or creating amazing projects that move people. Okay, so I hope I said that right. That's so mm-hmm. hard. It's so hard to express. That's worry about the money second. I don't worry about money at all. I don't worry about dumping a bunch of money on a credit card if it's going to help grow my business. Okay, so that was more of a general statement. Let's get back to you, but I just want to make sure you take that in. Just reiterate what I just said, so I know you have that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point there that I heard, I don't necessarily know if I'm grabbing it yet, but is right now I'm focusing on the month end's coming up, which means that there's a whole new set of bills coming up. And I'm looking at my bank account going, okay, here's my savings. And I'm kind of going, shit, okay, I've got 3 months of savings. And then it's empty. And that's what I'm looking at right now. And I'm trying to figure out, how do I get more in there? And it's a bit airy-fairy, but what I'm hearing is from you is, don't focus on that, because that's what you're focusing on. Focus on, okay, what do I need to do to make 100 grand this year? Yep. And that's my focus. And then my focus will become what I think about, I guess, is kind of what I'm hearing you said.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. What you focus on expands. So if you have to consciously catch yourself to look at your upcoming bills and the idea that my bank account is going to end, right? Which is I would say a negative energy.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's not fun to look at.
It doesn't feel good. And so what that's doing is that's pulling out your hopeful energy, your positive energy, your ability to create and to build up customers. I feel like you kind of grasped that idea.
Okay.
So it's look more at your situation as, this is what it is. It's just a fact. It's not an emotional element. If you don't bring it in as an emotional element of, oh my gosh, okay. The emotional element behind this is that idea of failure again. Okay. It goes back to your why. And that's why you're having that emotional feeling. So if you can disconnect that and just say, okay, this is just the balance. This is where it's going to go. And that this is it. It's just it's just a mouse in its own equivalent, right? And so my job is just to get more mice in the door.
Okay.
And not worry about the one mouse that's sitting there right now.
Yeah.
You're stressing a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's the thing, right? You know, and it's not a religious thing or anything like that, but it's, you know, there's the kind of that joke that you know, there's a flood. I mean, a flood's not a joke, but there's a flood, right? You know, it's like the person, you know, somebody knocks on the door, says, hey, there's a flood coming, you should leave, and they don't leave. And then, you know, I'm okay. And then, you know, then the water gets in the door and it's like, they move up to the next floor. And, you know, people are coming by in boats saying, hey, we'll help you leave the house. No, it's okay. I'm fine. And then now they're on the roof and there's a helicopter coming by saying, hey, you know, we're here to rescue you. They're like, no, it's okay. I'll be fine. And then kind of they perish and kind of get to the gates. And it's like, you know, what happened? And he goes, I gave you three options to get out of here. And you didn't take anything because they were focused on the wrong thing. And they don't see what's in front of them. And I guess that kind of is this idea that looking at it from the idea that, okay, forget about the fact that I've got bills to pay and I've got the bank account I've got and focus on the 100 grand. I mean, that's a scary thought.
It is. It is.
Because I mean, that's all I've been trained. I mean, you focus on what you've got, right? And it's like, okay. And I've got people to be accountable to. But okay, I'm in this. I am working with you because my way is not working. I am working with you because I need to make a mind shift, and so I will focus on that. So I will make that shift. How can I make 100 grand? Not how can I pay the bills?
Right.
Okay.
Excellent. That's a good way of putting it. You reiterated it that well, and you felt it, and so the idea, right? What I'm feeling from you is, oh my God, I gotta let go of what I perceive as security, where what you're perceiving as security is causing you all kinds of insecurity the minute you sense a certain amount of shortage or potential loss in it. Okay, the security comes from within you and your faith in what you're going to be doing. And so by virtue of what we've been talking about today and some of the exercise we've been doing and some of the things that I'm going to have you do, you're going to start to make that shift. It doesn't happen like that. It happens because you keep focusing on it, on what the end result is. Live in the end result. The end result is you're looking at your account and seeing, wow, in the last 12 months, I made 100 grand in revenue. Okay, this is one other thing about this money thing. 100 grand is going to be a level of flow, right? It's not 100 grand all at once. It's going to flow through you and out of you, and it's going to come back to you, the money is. So that's why we're measuring. You're going to build up a chart, and you're going to start tracking this income. Right. And in 12 months, you're going to say, wow, I actually turned over 100 grand over a period of 12 months. Instead of saying, okay, it's not enough money. I just got $100, $200. It's not enough money. Right. What you're going to see with this chart, you're going to see a growing chart. And it's so rewarding to see a growing chart.
Okay.
And it turns into fun. Right.
Okay.
When it becomes fun, you do more.
Well, I'm looking for fun. I'm looking for fun. Writing emails ain't fun. So.
Yep. Okay. So what I want you to do. This is task number two. This is the easiest task that you will ever have. That you want, really? I want you to take that $5,500 and write it in big numbers with a big Sharpie, right? And paste it in your shop where you can't miss it, on your computer monitor where you're doing design. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on your computer you're on right now. And every time you look at that, you ask yourself, how can I get there?
Okay.
How can I hit that 5.5K in 6 weeks? And so we are at a mark right now. This is your zero mark.
Yep.
Okay. So build yourself a little chart. And from now on, we're just tracking income.
Okay.
Not expenses, as far as the chart's concerned.
Okay.
Pretty intense little stuff. So I want to see if you get an idea of if you understand what I am doing with you right now. You know, you hired me to help you start a business, and why are we talking about my whys and this idea of money and stuff like that? So let's get a feel of why you think I'm doing this.
Well, conceptually, I get it. You know, I've got a bookshelf of books back there. I get it. But actually practically having this conversation with you and committing to you to go through this, and also via the public nature of what's happening here, and kind of, you know, open my kimono and here's kind of what's actually happening. I don't know. Help me here. I lost the question. Would you
That's
say?
Okay. I said, why do you think that, yeah, you've hired me to mentor you.
Yeah.
To help you build a CNC business rapidly. Yeah. To get yourself up to a point where you're getting income a lot faster than you would do on your own. Right. Yes. You recognize the idea that you need the experience behind you to guide you. Yeah. In the first session, in this session, we don't talk a whole lot about CNC machines and CNC business. We're talking about money. We're talking about how you're thinking. We're talking about your why and your personal life. Why do you think I'm doing that as opposed to diving into, okay, let's do this, 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 and this to get your business going?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's the foundational elements of what business is. Just not about the doing and delivering of it, but it's actually how I'm going to get through the day and how I'm going to deal with the challenges that invariably are going to happen. I'm not ignorant to the fact that there's not going to be frustrations and challenges and upsets along the way. But I'm thinking that the conversation, especially the why discussions, are what's going to get me through those difficult times, and drive me through it. The conversation about the money, I think, is it's a goal. It's something to work towards. It's a target. It's you know, it's like, okay, well, what do I need to do? And it helps to guide the actions that I'm taking today. So am I making another shop fixture like all the YouTube guys are doing? Or am I actually doing productive, meaningful prospecting or designing a product or working on my Instagram account or whatever, or starting a YouTube channel or whatever that ends up being? I think that's kind of where we're getting to. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's, you use the word foundational. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
What has happened so far is you got down to this idea of you don't want to be a failure, right? So that is your key word, right? This is the other thing you have to do. Grab your pen and write mm-hmm. down this one question. Do I want to be a failure? Now that you've gotten in touch with that emotion, underneath that number in big black letters, do I want to be a failure? And every time you see that, you're going to live that feeling. You're not going to like it, but you're going to be telling yourself, hell no. Right. And by virtue of that, it's going to, you're going to keep not wanting to go there, which means you're going to want to go the other direction. Instead of being afraid of going into failure, you're going to make a decision to stay away from it and go in the other direction. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I don't like what's on the page right now.
Exactly. You're confronting the true Mark, the true person who is the person you're struggling with, right? Now, just accept that Mark as the Mark that is there.
Yep.
And the Mark that is going to move in a different direction to, you're not a failure, you're a winner. Congratulations, Mark. Because you've identified the root of what you've been afraid of, right? So, and I can feel it. I've got like chills right now. So I know that you got there.
Mm-hmm.
So what you just felt is hard, but it's a good thing. It's the best thing you could ever have done.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Another deep breath, my friend.
drink some more water here. This is not what I expected, but okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about forward moving stuff now.
Okay.
All right. So your customers.
Yes.
The people that you've been approaching.
Yes.
Are you shifted yet? Are you still?
I'll get there. I'm still in it, but I'll get there. Let's talk about something else. Yep.
Let's move forward. Well, let's get a little humor for a minute. Yeah, let's just kind of not humor. It's just while you're in that zone, right? It's hard to now shift out of it. Right.
Yeah.
It takes a minute. So let's just take a breath. So let's just talk about what's going on this week. What kind of crazy things have happened to you? Let's just take 2 minutes.
Crazy things. So So I've got my CNC, I've got the T-track right set up. And I didn't understand. I was cutting out my logo on my board. And so I painted it up. So I spray painted some MDF, and then I cut my logo out. So I did try to figure out how to do the outside path, and I cut it a little too deep. And I'm like, wow, this is taking a long time to go around and around and around and around and around. And all of a sudden I hear this coming through, and I look and I'm like, hit the emergency stop button and look at it. And the piece, so I was using clamps on all four sides, yeah? And then I thought I had put in tabs, but the tabs were, the board was 3/4 inch MDF, but the tabs were set to be at 1.5 inches deep. And the buzzing sound of that really hard churning sound was the end mill going through the aluminum T-track.
Oh my gosh.
So now I have half of my board, I've got the whole thing, but then I've got a line right through one of my T-tracks. And so I was not just looking at that kind of going, all right, well, that's something I got to tell Garrett about because. So, and of course the piece, because there was no tabs in it, the piece totally shifted and got sucked into the end mill and got all buggered up and everything. So, you don't put tabs at 1.5 inches deep on 3/4 inch material.
Part of the fun of learning how to do this stuff.
Yeah, I figured out the misstep there was metric to converting metric to imperial and imperial back to metric, and I messed up the calculation some there. I thought I could do mental math on that one. I guess I was tired or whatever, and you know, it was like a depth of cut. You know, I don't know, whatever it was. So that was fun. I was looking at it going, oh, this is looking really good, and then that happened. So.
Right.
Now I know why they call it a spoil board.
That's exactly why they call it a spoil board, but they never called it a spoil T-track, right?
Yeah, no. Thank God it's aluminum. Otherwise, I was going to be buying another end mill from you.
Yeah, good thing the aluminum, most end mills can handle aluminum, although it depends on how fast you're going through it. The wonderful world of CNC boo-boos.
Yeah, I'm sure we should have a whole thing about Mark's bloopers. Maybe that's what we'll do.
Right. Hey, got another little quick task for you. I just thought about
it. Yes, sir.
Yeah. The next time you have a piece of board and you're getting ready to design up a project, before you put that board on your machine, start doing anything to it, take a picture of it.
Okay.
And then take a picture of the board afterwards. Right. So now you've got this is what it was. And now this is what it is. Holy shit.
Okay. And then, I can do that.
Yeah. You can be proud of that. All right. So we have ruined T-tracks and a picture, right?
Yeah. The other thing too, just for fun is, so my daughter's learning how to use her iPad to make movies. Right. And all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know if you remember the Benny Hill TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So I know, but when I was a little kid, I used to watch Benny Hill because it was on late at night, and every once in a while, Benny Hill would went around and there'd be all these pretty ladies running around, you know, and I'm like a kid watching that. But I'm sure every young boy has done that, but I never said that out loud. But anyway, so I put the phone on like hyperlapse video. So now it's running really quick and you see me running around the whole thing. It's kind of, so I had Sophie put the little hyperlapse video to the Benny Hill thing just for fun. So
I'll post it. I remember right, that's, how does that go again? Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe I'll do a YouTube channel with bloopers or something like that.
Well, that's something you're gonna do. You're gonna start building a YouTube channel. Yeah, it's. I don't know if you've got one started or not.
Not yet.
What's that?
Not yet. No.
Okay, you're talking about video, so it looks like that's the direction you're going in. I'm glad to see that.
I was more taking it more for fun than anything else, but yeah, okay. Yeah. I haven't thought about it, but I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, look at it this way. You're on a journey, right? And mm-hmm. You want to grow a business. So people may also gain appreciation by just seeing you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Okay. So kind of more of a, here's what goes into making all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. If, you know, I mean, we'll talk about that. We don't have to talk about that now. It's just an idea. I mean, yeah, it really depends on your, right now, what your focus is not really a YouTube channel. I actually probably shouldn't have gone in that direction. Your focus, yours is the one question, how can I make 5.5K?
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that's the question you ask you every time you see that sign, how can I make 5.5K? You're sitting at dinner with your significant other and you're going, how can I make 5.5K today? Right. With conviction. With conviction. Right. Not with doubt. How am I going to make 5.5K? Not with anybody. It's like, how am I going to make 5.5K? I want to know.
Yep. Got it.
Yep. We spent a lot of time just on this one aspect. Let's do a little shifting. Let's talk about customers. So you have talked to people. You've talked about cutting boards. And a couple other things. So you were supposed to list three mm-hmm. niches. Mm-hmm. So what was the niches that you listed?
Yeah. So the niches that I have are the cutting boards as a personalized gift. So not just making the cutting boards, but actually personalizing them with the CNC. The toddler stands, only because now I've built them. I've got some templates and
that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And then signs as gifts. So I live in Toronto, and you can't spit too far or throw a rock without finding some kind of coach out there who's coaching somebody on something. So I'm thinking that I've seen some of your videos where you have like a word in the background on your videos, like wealth or something like that. So because everyone's zooming meetings and all that stuff, maybe they've got
you're talking about that right there.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, those financial guys, those tax guys, any of those business coaching kind of people, life coachy type people, maybe I can make some signs for them. And again, thinking from a marketing perspective of somebody sees, oh, wow, where'd you get that sign? And then maybe we could brand it with their stuff. You know, maybe it's something that they could, a phrase or a word that they use. Maybe we could brand it and become a saleable item for them. So I could make, manufacture, distribute their products. Maybe when somebody signs up as a customer, it's a thank you gift for joining their community, their mastermind, their group, that kind of stuff. So that was the other niche that I was thinking about, those three. So the what excites me right now from an artistic perspective is creating the cutting boards. I'm enjoying that. From an assembly perspective, I kind of really enjoyed handing over my neighbor their toddler stand and hearing the reports that he's getting used to it, and he's now staying there and helping me make dinner, and you know, he's playing in the kitchen and, you know, helping mommy and stuff like that. The signs and gifts to the consultants and coaches and life coach people, I think that is potentially a good market for being able to sell into an audience of people that I don't know. And then I can also then, you know, what else does Mark do? Well, maybe they have a cutting board that has a phrase on it that is similar to what they do, or maybe it's something along those lines. I'm not sure yet, but that's kind of where looking at the space I have, looking at the skills I have, looking at people I know, and what I've done. That's kind of where I'm kind of dialed into right now.
Okay. All right. So those are three clearly distinct niches. These are good. So the cutting boards, you've already got some experience under you. You've been making some. Have you sold? You sold one for 175. You said.
Yeah, I've sold a couple. Yeah, okay. One, two, three. I've sold three for 175, and I've given a bunch of those gifts. That's okay. That was one of my things. Like it's, Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday. Post warming things. That kind of.
Right.
I've done several of those.
Right. Okay.
That's kind of where the idea came from. People are like, "Oh my God, this is gorgeous! Thank you so much." You know, how much did you pay for it? I'm like, I made it. And they're like, you made this. Oh my God, this is gorgeous. And then that's kind of what was happening. So that was like, okay, I'll go make some more, you know?
Yep. So you kind of tap into something that's interesting, is the idea of giving. By giving, you receive, right? You've heard it. You can't get unless you know, mm-hmm. unless you give. That can be thought of in a selfish way, or it can be thought of in a honorable way. So the idea that you've given things as gifts is good, because you are creating awareness about you, and, mm-hmm. and you generally have something that you put some heart into and you're giving away. And then you've also pointed out that I make these. Right. When you're in those kind of dialogues, I want to make sure you tap into your prospect, your customer, whether it's friends, family, a business associate, whatever, is to tap in a little bit more. What do you like about this? You know, you just want to engage them a bit more. You want to, I took you on a journey into your why, right? Okay. So that was a real deep emotional journey. You want to get your customer into the emotional journey, because nobody, mark my words in this, no one buys out of logic. They always buy out of emotion. And the deeper you can bring out the emotional desire within them that centers around your project, the more likely they're going to buy that project from you or come back to you.
Okay.
People like to unload. This is a really deep level. So when you're expressing this, people want to be vulnerable. They want to say, I really love this kind of stuff. They love to be colorful. They love to unload the things that are holding them back. Right? They want to unload that kind of stuff. And the more that you can become that sounding board to them in genuine interest, right? You're not playing them, digging in and then hit them with, okay, well, you want to buy one of these, right? That doesn't work. By virtue of genuine interest in them and understanding what they want and empathizing with it, they will come back to you and they'll mm-hmm. start becoming not just a customer, but a return customer.
Okay.
Which leads to one more task. Okay. And that task is the list. You've sold to a few people.
Yes.
Write their names down.
Okay.
You have other people that have expressed interest in what you do. Mm-hmm. Write their names down. Okay. This is a marketing term. The money is in the list.
Okay.
So what that means is, if you sold a cutting board to Ann, and that's it, you're done with Ann, and you move on to the next customer, you're always doing the same thing you've been doing. Oh, now I'm looking for the next contract job. Yep. Right. You want Ann to be a return customer. So the way Ann is going to come back to you is if she trusts you, she mm-hmm. likes you, and you're giving her more value than she gives you. Okay, so all these people that you're going to list, primarily people that have already shown interest in you, either in the aspect of what you're doing or by virtue of what you've already sold to them or given to them. This is a list of people that can come back and buy more from you.
Okay. So question for you then. We talked about the niche of the cutting boards, and this is kind of now where I'm in other forums and I'm, you know, kind of watching what other people are saying. You know, it's like build everything, build anything. Other people are saying only build one thing. So using the example of Anne, she bought the cutting board, she loves it. What else do I then turn around and sell her, right? If I'm going to stay niche on the cutting boards as the example, do I sell her more cutting boards as gifts to give to people, or do I branch off into a barbecue scraper?
So it's always good to use your foundation. Your foundation is cutting boards. Mm-hmm. And use that as a springboard to the next thing. So the idea is, whatever Ann wants from you, if it's a barbecue scraper or a cutting board stand, which is something you may want to consider, right? Sure. That's an upsell.
Okay, yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yep. But if Ann says, can you make a bookshelf? That's outside of your niche, and you have to be willing to say no. Uh-huh. Because again, you remember I talked to you about, did I talk to you about the Etsy store last week? Looking at Etsy store?
Yes, I did. Yes, we did.
I suggested looking at Etsy stores. Mm-hmm. And if you are making everything, all you're doing is creating chaos. The businesses that succeed, pay attention to this from now on, businesses that succeed have a defined window.
Okay.
And they don't step outside of that window until they've mastered that window. Right. Mm-hmm. So your window is cutting boards with a few accessories that relate to that kind of thing. Now, the other thing is you do have experience with toddler stands. And I think that is actually an exceptional market to get into, because moms love having their babies around. They got to have their babies around, right? That's just part of they're talking to the babies like they talk to plants, right? and you've got some experience with that. So you can use that as a tangent as well. So you have two product lines. The idea is not to get yourself so confused between the two that it creates chaos and confusion. I mentioned the Etsy store, right? Pop into a couple Etsy stores and if you feel confused, pay attention to your own feelings when you're looking at going to Walmart, right? It's everything under the sun. But if you are truly looking for a masseuse, right? You're going to a masseuse parlor. That's what they do. They massage you. They don't, and they have a few tangent items, some oils maybe, or supplements or something, but their core is massage, and they don't ever steer from that. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. If I could then restate on that, it's looking at the niche of the cutting boards, because that's kind of, I'm enjoying doing it. It's fun. I'm enjoying the manufacturing process, if you will, of them and all things around it. I'm having just a gigaload of actually. But for Anne, what else can I sell Anne? How else can I provide value? The cutting board stand is one, and then things that would complement that. So similar would be, what do you call those things? What are these things called? Coasters. Oh my God, I couldn't remember what coasters. So coasters, right? So those are, I mean, I've got a long mill 30 by 30. So what's this? 3. So I could theoretically carve out a bunch of coasters.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you got the long mill. I got that as well. That's the machine I endorse. So
yeah, it's a great machine.
Okay, so I want to stop you for a minute.
Sorry, I just went off into how do I make this, but anyway, carry on.
Yeah, it's okay.
Tiny things got distracted.
Yeah, actually, you kind of want to come back to the bird's eye perspective of your niches. You identified three niches. The cutting boards, which is kitchen related, right?
Yeah.
Your toddler stands, and then words and stuff that may appeal to finance related. Money
coaches,
related.
People,
which are all excellent. So what I see is your wealth, the I'm just going to use the word wealth to define that, because that's my word, right? Yeah. So the wealth words are distinctly different from the kitchen environment. They're two completely different mindsets. Two different, you know, someone's not, when they're thinking of money, they're not thinking of making an amazing steak on the grill using that cutting board, right? So these are very different. And that's, if you work with both of those, because they're so far apart from each other, that's going to create a little bit of a split in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so different, because you got to think in the terms of these wealth people, these financiers, whatever you want, the wealth, right? And then you got to think in terms of the kitchen thing.
Right.
Two very different mindsets. So what that does is that draws down your clarity. The more clear you are in what you do, the better you're going to do at it. Okay. So this is why I had to do that. So this is really good. I'm going to tell you, as a mentor, as a coach, of all the things we talked about and where you get that really good feeling of your wood products, right? You seem to get this good feeling of this is in somebody's home,
mm-hmm.
right? With your cutting boards, that the wealth thing is not your project right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking, you know, you're exactly right. Like the words, I mean, so Katie always laughs at me because I've got little kind of sayings, and, you know, I like all the memes with all the sayings, all that stuff. So those little phrases and stuff like that, you know, I'm just looking around and I've got many of them that I can see. I like them. They resonate with me. I love things that have musical phrases, right? You know, it's there was one I saw the other day, and it was sometimes I need music for the sounds it provides me. Sometimes I need music for the lyrics it shares with me, you know. And I mean, that speaks to me, right? And there's certain lyrics in songs that the three or four words in that phrase are what kind of some days sees me through it. So I love that element. I mean, that's been like that since I was a kid. Then I'm looking at the words, and this is maybe help me with this kind of from that perspective, is I'm saying, okay, well, where are the people that can buy? I am going to sell $5,500 in the next 6 weeks. Okay. So that is 30 boards. That is, I don't know, 100 signs, 100 word signs. That is 25 toddler stands. And I'm kind of looking at that from a perspective of, okay, and here's my question to you as I'm formulating it. Does it matter as long as I'm selling, or should I just stay within that niche?
So yeah, it does matter what you're selling. You want to stay in your niche.
Okay.
You want to stay in your niche. Again, if you're trying to go in many directions, you're getting confused. You can't put the right energy in that niche to learn more and more about that niche. We're going to talk about this in a second. We're going to talk about who your customer is, right? Okay. And then you'll understand this as we get into it. So what I did like to hear just then, what I did hear was, okay, that's 25 toddler stands. That's this, that's this, that's this. It's already an indication that how am I going to make, you know, how do I make 5.5K? Mm-hmm. And you've already got those numbers running in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's exactly the path that you needed to go down.
Okay.
In order to start identifying that. So that, you know, I'll pat you on the back for that. Okay. All right. Let's talk about your customer.
Okay.
First of all, just so I want to say this wealth thing, this word thing.
Yeah.
You can incorporate those sayings, I am wealthy because I have my family, into a cutting board. But you don't want to go after that market that you defined as the ones that would buy that.
Got it. Okay.
So I'm going to tell you as a mentor, stay away from it.
Okay.
Focus on this. The toddler stands, I'm kind of curious about that. I think you might be able to use that as a side thing or as incorporate that into your thing. We'll get to that in just a minute. What I want to do now is we're going to do this. And we're going to talk about one more thing, and then we're going to end this session with just make sure you get your tasks down.
Okay.
Is your customer. Now, we're going to use the word avatar. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the term that's used in marketing. You are write email, so I think you probably understand that word.
Yeah, very clear.
But, yeah. But for the sake of this, because we're making this public, mm-hmm. what an avatar is your ideal customer. It's the person that you can define in your mind is the person that's going to come and buy your project, and you create, you define who your avatar is to a point where you understand your avatar. The person is buying your stuff better than they understand themselves. Okay. And that is a tough one to get your head wrapped around. So I'm going to say this, Mark, I'm going to run you through this exercise. But for whoever's watching this video, do this exercise. Without doing this exercise, you're going to struggle in your business. Okay. Let's talk about your avatar. We've identified a product, two products. Right, two kind of niches, and I'm going to hold on to these two niches: the cutting boards, and perhaps some accessories associated with that, mm-hmm. and then a toddler stand. So, with that in mind, who is the person that's going to buy this? Let's start to figure out who this person is. So, is it a guy or is it a girl?
The cutting boards so far have been women.
Okay.
But I can see, you know, some men that I've talked to that are into cooking have said, oh my God, these are gorgeous.
Okay.
So I can definitely see, I see different styles as being a little bit more feminine, artistic, and some styles being a little more masculine.
Okay.
The heavier boards, the thicker 1.5, 1.75 inch boards, the guy and with more walnut, the guys seem to resonate towards. Whereas the thinner ones, the lighter ones, the women are kind of driving towards. So
interesting awareness. Okay. Yeah. So you have two avatars then. You've just identified two. There's a man and there's a woman.
Yeah.
Okay. They both are interested in cutting boards. So let's just talk about which one you want to talk about first, the man or the woman?
The woman.
Okay. All right. So the woman is interested in your thinner, you know, the thinner, lighter cutting boards. So first of all, how old is she? Let's talk about who she is. What kind of lifestyle she has? Does she have kids? Does, you know, how old is she? What is her life experience? Is she a professional or is she work
she's
at
a professional? Yeah, okay. She's a professional.
What kind of professional? What does she do?
She's got a management job. She's leadership. She's executive in that space.
Okay, so she's pretty high level.
Yep.
Okay, good. How much money does she make?
North of 80K.
How much?
North of 80K.
Okay, 80K plus. 80K yep. To what?
Oh, I don't know. I'm thinking of the people that I know. So 200, 250.
Okay, 80K to 200.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need a window. There's okay. No room for lack of clarity, right? We need windows to define us.
Okay.
What's going to happen is as you start to understand this, you're going to develop an understanding of who you're approaching.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll here and there, you'll end up selling your product to someone who's making 50K, and you'll sell some of your product to someone who makes 500K.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But the core of your sales will be inside this window. And yeah. It's the tighter your niche, the better you're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay, it goes against the grain of I just got to sell as much as I can. No, you the tighter the niche, the better you'll do. Just mark my words on that. We'll talk about that another time. Okay, so 80 to 200K, still a pretty big window. She's an executive, and how big is the company she works for?
Again, I'm thinking of the people that I've been talking to. There's at least 50 people in the company.
Okay. So small, large, small company, right?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. So 50 employees. And so she's got power over all 50 of those people, pretty much.
Or a department. You know, she might have 10 subordinates, okay. 10 people that she manages.
Okay. But as the tree's down, she's...
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Okay. So what's her name?
I don't know yet.
Let's give her a name. What name fits this? Well, okay, we don't have to give her a name yet. What, we're going to give her a name that personalizes her. Does she have kids?
Yep, adult kids or young adult kids, high school and up.
Okay, so her kids are teenagers to a young adult.
Yep.
How many kids?
Two or more. Yep.
Two kids. How old are they?
High school and up.
Yeah. So what? Just get an age.
Like 16 plus. 16 to 35 ish.
One of them is 16. How old is the other one?
21.
Okay. Okay. And is she married?
She's either divorced or on her second marriage.
Okay. All right. Let's clear that up. Is she divorced or is she on her second marriage?
She's divorced.
Okay. Divorced. So is she dating?
She's social. I don't know about dating, but she's social.
Okay. Social. All right. So, and the lifestyle in her household right now with two kids. Are both kids living with her?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. So she's got a couple kids. So obviously one's at driving age.
They're both at driving age, yeah.
They're both driving. Okay. And is it a sporty family? You know, are they into sports?
Not really, no.
No? What are some of the things that...
Golf. She's a golfer.
Okay. Is she a member of clubs?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's part of her activity. All right, what does she like? What are the things that when she sits back and says, you know, has a thought or sees something, what are some of the things that make her smile just inside?
Oh, again, I'm going on the people that I know that have either expressed an interest and or have bought. They're taking care of themselves. They're at a stage in their life where they are, satisfying their needs, but they're rewarding themselves, right? They're getting the things that they want that they sacrificed either in the previous marriage or that they've sacrificed because they had to pay for kids and stuff like that. And now they're getting the things that they've always wanted, right?
Excellent. Okay. So we'll put a star next to that. That's an important point. We're not going to go through the man in this, right? Because we're coming up close to our hour.
Yeah.
But once we're done with this exercise, you will, that'll be one of your other tasks, identify the man. Okay. So she's rewarding herself. And so... Let's attach a name to her. This is the name we're giving. What we're doing is we are visualizing this person in our mind. Mm-hmm. And so in order to visualize them, we have to have a label. We have to have a name. We have to be able to identify them as a person with special characteristics.
I have no idea. Is it somebody I know? Is it like, is it modeling up or just putting a name around it?
Ideally, it's not someone you know.
Okay.
Okay. The reason is because then you'll have this already acquaintance in your mind.
Right. Okay. I think the rewarding herself. So if we kind of tag it around the R, maybe it's, I don't know, name with an R, Rhonda. No, I don't. Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Rhonda, but dated a girl named Rhonda, so I don't want to use that. I don't know. What's the name that starts with R?
Renee,
yeah, that's a cool name.
Okay.
I knew Renee back in the day.
All right. So you wanted to center that around the R. So let's assign a
character. Rewarding herself.
Okay. So let's assign a characteristic to Renee. Let's so rewarding Renee.
Yeah.
So whenever you are talking or thinking about your customer, you're thinking about rewarding Renee. Mm-hmm. The person is rewarding themselves.
Yep.
Okay. What that person is doing is they are being lavish with themselves. They are giving to themselves. They're willing to spend money on themselves. They're willing to go the extra mile to make sure they have what they want in life for a change.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Okay. So you got a kind of a good idea there. And what I want you to do is get a picture of who Renee is in your mind. Rewarding Renee. All right. It'd be ideal to take Renee. Actually, we'll do this briefly. What doesn't Renee like?
She doesn't like. She doesn't like simple.
Okay.
Like plain. Like she doesn't like common.
Okay. Doesn't like common, mediocre.
Yeah. She doesn't. She goes out of her way to find things that are unique. So the opposite of that, that's where I'm kind of going from that. Like, you know, you'd never see anything in her house that was bought at Walmart or bought at, you know, the common store that everyone goes to. Mm-hmm. She goes to the unique stores to buy stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. And Renee wants to be different.
Yeah.
She wants to stand out in her own way.
Yep.
Okay. So that's another one to put the star next to. Okay.
When you go into Renee's house, there's something every time you go in going, oh my God, this is beautiful. Where'd you get it?
Okay.
All right.
That's interesting. What's Renee's biggest pain? What is she most afraid of?
She's most afraid of? I go back to why is she doing this? She's doing this because she sacrificed all those years, and she didn't do the things she wanted to do with her life. And so now she is doing what she wants to do with her life. So what's her biggest fear?
Sounds like
average.
Sounds like she doesn't want to be mediocre Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, no, she does not want to be mediocre Mary.
Okay. So we got rewarding Renee. So what I want you to do is kind of walk your man avatar through the same kind of process.
Yeah.
This video will be available, obviously, to me on YouTube and available to you directly if you have questions on that. So let's, you know, make sure you go through your guide. Now you've got a clear idea of your customer.
Yep.
This is someone who makes a decent amount of money. They've been mediocre in their life. They have decided, I don't want to be mediocre anymore. I'm going to treat myself special, and they are willing to spend on themselves to feel that way.
Yep.
Okay. Now that you know that person, we are going to work on approaching that person, how to engage with them, how to draw that out of them, that what you have, what you do is something that is self-rewarding to them.
Mm-hmm. Right. I see what you're saying. Yep.
Yep. And so you understand Renee's deeper feeling that she doesn't understand.
Right.
Renee is not aware that she doesn't want to be mediocre Mary.
Right.
It's why you and I went into that. Why you weren't aware that you were afraid to be a failure until we got there. Right. Yep. So you're at a new level, my friend. Congratulations.
Very cool. I'm thinking about this coaster just as an example.
Yeah.
That was Renee's coaster.
Okay.
She gave it to me because she got tired of it. Right. Like who has that in their living room? Right. It's definitely not average. It's definitely wow factor.
Mm-hmm.
And so Renee gives this to me. Because she's done with it. The style is gone and she's had it for 2 years and it's like, okay, next.
Right. She got rid of it. Replace it. Yep. Mm-hmm. She got rid of it because it started feeling like mediocre Mary stuff.
Yep. Yep. There's no Excellent. Wow factor anymore with her.
The cool thing about that is mediocre Mary, what you just stated is so important, is mediocre Mary needs to continually renew her environment.
No, Renee does.
Renee, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Renee. Rewarding Renee.
Jeez, I almost cut that out of this, but I can't edit this video. It was just a boo-boo on my, you know what I mean.
Yes.
Renee, Rewarding Renee rotates her environment out. And if you can be part of that rotation process, she will be a returning customer.
Yep. I also wrote down that she's a gift giver. She's social. I think I mentioned that. So okay. she entertains a lot.
You are talking about a lot of things that are things that you can tap into that she will, that will make her want to buy more.
Absolutely. I'm just thinking like unfortunately I haven't been to anybody's house in the last almost 2 years because of COVID, but I'm thinking about the people that I know that have been to their homes pre-COVID, and you know, I'm thinking about the there's a picture we have of a friend of ours, and she has a charcuterie board because that's kind of one of her things. The damn thing's 4.5 feet long, okay, and it's sticking out of her sink, and she's standing on a stool to wash this thing, and she loves it, right? It's a and I mean, she paid a bloody fortune for a piece of walnut that probably cost $20 from my Sawyer, but you know, whatever, right? And I just had a giggle out of that one,
right?
You know, because that's too big. I'm solving a problem. That one's too big, or maybe I make her a step stool so she can wash her 4 foot charcuterie board. That's funny. Anyway, I just had that little image.
That's okay. Yeah. We didn't get into the toddler stand. The what it looks like is the Mary is not a toddler stand buyer directly.
Renee.
Did I say Mary again?
You did.
Wait a minute. I'm going to fix my note so I don't make that mistake. So this is what I'm looking at right now. Let's see there. Right. Just pencil writing.
Yeah.
And this is what it looks like now. Wait a minute. I don't want to go there again. There you go.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Renee.
Yep.
Thank you for correcting me on that.
Okay.
So,
one Renee, 100 for you.
right. Yeah. How much owe you for that one?
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. This toddler stands intrigues me because the baby market's so huge.
Mm-hmm.
And your avatar is at least upper middle class,
mm-hmm.
right? Middle class, just a little higher middle class to upper middle class.
Yeah.
And so those are people who like to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now Renee wants to spend extra money, right? And she's giving away gifts,
mm-hmm.
because she wants people to see her as special.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's always that's becoming Rewarding Renee. The reward is, oh my God, thank you, Renee. That's so beautiful. And Renee feels like she's somebody. All right. Okay. Yep. So the toddler stands, we've kind of run out of time to tap into that. With all we've said now, you understand your why.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about money and the money mindset, that to stop focusing on trying to get there and start focusing on how to get there. We have covered your avatar, one of your avatars, Renee. We're going to cover what I want you to do is cover the guy side.
Yep.
And
he's already got a name. I'm calling him Barbecue Bob.
Barbecue Bob. All right. Okay. So, yep. Write them down. So write down the tasks that you have. Tell me the tasks that you have.
So I have I'm going to dive into my why a bit better. That's the first one. I am to put post-it notes and signs with the 5.5K.
Bigger than post-it notes, brother.
Yeah,
big bold right. letters that you can see it from your neighbor's door.
Okay. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, so that's there. How can I achieve it? Before and after pictures of everything I make.
Just one or two. Just to give you that feeling of wow.
Yeah.
If you want to do it this. Before and after for everything, that's fine. Always take pictures of your finished project. So.
Yeah, I do that. Before and after. The list. Review Etsy stores.
All I want you to do with that is just to look at a couple to get an idea of the feeling that you have when you look at it. Do you feel like you're stepping into Walmart where there's everything under the sun and it's noisy, it's confusing, you don't really know what they're selling? And then go to one that looks very organized and you'll be very clear. There's, okay. This person sells ornaments. That's okay. What they sell. Yeah. Okay. And what I want you to pay attention to is the feeling that you have when you're looking at it. Okay. So just one or two Etsy stores. Doesn't matter. That's, yeah, go ahead.
And then the avatars was the last one. That's what I've got down is the, as the tasks. Okay.
Yep. And on the side, you know, keep doing your CNC stuff. Keep talking to the people that you're talking to. Make that list. Making that list of the people. That's one of your tasks. Okay. I don't remember if you just said that or not.
I did. Yeah, I've got a list on here.
Okay. All right. Yep. Okay. Awesome. So, how do you feel that? What do you feel about this session so far?
Mixed. I'll be honest. Didn't expect to go and get all kind of emotional and declamped and all that. Some of the dialing in the avatar, I mean, I've done that for the other stuff I've done, but I haven't really kind of been on the receiving end of a coaching session. So, that was helpful. Helped me dial that in a lot better. I think that the big thing is, is kind of getting a little bit honest with myself about what I'm looking at and kind of what's going on and the why. And just being honest with it. So I guess sit in that space for a bit today. Okay. And just, you know, see where that's at. I think failure is, I mean, I can make mistakes, right? I'm still learning. I'm developing skills. I can make mistakes in the shop and stuff like that. But I think the failure component is a whole different level. And I need to, I mean, in my mind and emotionally, I need to be able to separate the two. That I screwed something up, that doesn't mean I'm a failure. I just made a mistake. And I made a mistake because of what you said last time, which I need to keep on reminding myself is that I'm an expert in another space that I have zero desire to spend any time in. I'm moving into a new space through a career change. And I have to develop just multiple years worth of skills in that time. So I am going to be making mistakes, and that's not failure. That's learning.
Right.
That was the big moment for me all week. Is, you know, I think even myself, I'd say, oh Christ, I failed again. You know, that kind of thing. It's like, well, no, I didn't. I made a mistake. You know, I failed at this. It didn't turn out the way I needed to do. You know, the CNC job that I did wasn't as good as it needed to be. The V carve wasn't as deep, so I didn't get good lines. My project was sitting on a pile of sawdust I didn't even realize. So it's off, and I've got one corner is super deep and the other corner is really, you know, because I took my center at my zero off the center. You know, so the tail of this thing's not there. And So that's not me failing. That's me making a mistake.
Right.
And I think that's this week. And I think that's going to be a challenge I'm going to be just dealing with on an ongoing basis. Because there was a couple times where I literally threw, because it was hot. I was like, wiping my face down. I threw down the towel and I'm like, really? I don't know why I'm doing this. And then now I know why.
Now you know why.
Yes, sir.
That kind of knowing is going to keep you from ever quitting. Yeah. When you get that point of, I'm just done.
Yeah.
I just don't want to fucking do this anymore. You're going to look at that and say, do I really want to go back to that? Do I want to let that feeling sink into my life again? Okay. So excellent. The thing you said about failure, and what you're starting to recognize is a lot of people think that they need to be perfect up front. They need to make perfect projects, and they need to know all this stuff. And you start with where from where you're at, and you're going to make mistakes. And I would leave you with this one thing. Failure is a good thing. Okay. Failure is one step closer to that success.
Okay.
All right. And I can tell you, I have failed hundreds of times. Right. And, and now I am in a business that's helping a lot of people.
Right. Yes.
Because I never quit. I understood the why. That if I, my why, by the way, is mediocre Mary. I will not be her. I will not. I have to sing my song, if you put it that way. I think it makes sense to you. Yep. And I will not quit until my song is sung, until my legacy is been left its mark on the world. And now I'm doing it. Right. And why am I doing it? Because I got grandkids in there. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So go be with your grandkids. Thank what's you that? For taking, I said, yeah, go be with your grandkids today. Yeah.
All right. Well, Mark, yep. Next week, we are going to step into some business aspects.
Yep. Okay.
But Pete, keep doing what you're doing. You got a lot of the right mindset and the right track. So I want you, the one other thing I want you to try to think about is rewarding Renee with the, and what was the other one's name? Barbecue Bob?
Barbecue Bob, yeah.
Yep. yep. That's good. How other things that maybe you can supplement within the realm of that niche.
Okay. Right.
And I'm very intrigued by the toddler stand.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by that. So we'll talk more about that one. All right, my friend, then looking forward to emails to, you know, help you out as we go along. Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
You did good this past week. You didn't bombard me. So.
All right. Just the one. Yeah. All right. Okay. Appreciate that. Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your day with the grandkids.
All right. We'll see
you. Okay. Talk to you later. Bye.